back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, no Charlie Collier. Somehow this guy's on another vacation just 4 days later.
So
but
much free time.
Yeah, yeah. Headed to D.C., I believe is what he said. So just me and Cam today for the last time this week. As we get set to, I guess we can't be too mean to Charlie, but, you know, at least we made it to Friday. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are probably taking Friday off, you know.
Yeah, you would think so.
Trying to extend that, you know, long weekend a little bit if you can. But, Cam, we got 3 hours to talk sports and other things as we, you know, are basically, what, 12 hours away from the midway point of the year?
Oh, wow, yeah. I didn't even think about that, but, yeah, pretty much.
We got 12 hours remaining, and then we are at the midway point of the year. How are you today, my friend?
Doing well. Doing well. Nothing to really complain about. I'm enjoying the weather still. It's nice out. Excited for the weekend. The weekend should be, you know, enjoyable. Hang out, you know, grill out, eat some burgers and stuff with friends, things like that. So, looking forward to that. Actually played Fortnite with Charlie and Draven last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Run some threes?
Yeah, we did. We ran some trios out there. And,
how'd you guys do?
Lots of top. We only got one win, but okay. We had a lot of, like, top threes. We kept getting close.
Any twitching?
No, we weren't streaming or anything.
Why not?
We should have. I don't know. We didn't think about it.
You guys keep talking about being streamers. That was your chance. What happened?
We were kind of just threw it together last minute.
I'm actually kind of jealous.
Well, yeah, you could have hopped in and been the fourth guy. We could have went up the squads. But, yeah, I got a win.
You have a PlayStation, right?
Yeah, but it's cross-platform. They're both on Xbox.
That's what I thought. Okay, but, yeah, okay, cross-platform.
So, yeah, it worked out.
That's a nice that they absolutely. That PlayStation and Xbox came together.
Never thought it would happen, but, yeah, then they did that about a year or two ago. So, let's just play with the boys, you know?
I'm glad you guys got at least one win.
Yeah, we had to get one before getting out of there for sure.
Can I ask, well, first of all, how long did you guys play?
Probably about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Maybe 2 hours tops.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask who the MVP was?
I'm trying to think of who. Draven was pretty good, which I think him playing Call of Duty a lot probably helped him with that.
Okay. You willing to say he's the MVP?
Sure, yeah, I'll give him the MVP. He had a couple games where he saved us or, like, soloed the squad by himself, and you're just like, okay.
That's
keeping
nice
us
of
alive.
You to be, you know, willing to admit that.
Yeah. I'm more of a utility player. I've never claimed to be good at Fortnite.
Sure,
I'm just a strategic kind of, I'll have the grenades, I'll have the other random stuff. It'll make it problematic for the other teams, but don't expect me to go in there and just take out three people by myself. That's just not who I am as a player. So we just have to get that team chemistry going, you know, early on to figure out who's kind of doing what role. So
is Charlie any good?
Yeah, Charlie's pretty solid.
Would Charlie agree that Draven was the MVP?
I don't know. He probably would try to say himself.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what I was wondering. Like, is Charlie out there thinking, no, I'm actually the MVP?
I'd say they both were pretty solid. I'd say Draven had more, like, big moments, which is why I'm a lean Draven.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely had a couple times where it was just him versus two or three people. Or
we came through.
Yeah, and he came up clutch, so.
Okay.
It's nice that they have a no-building mode on there now.
Oh, is that what you guys are playing?
Yeah. So much better.
See, this feels like whenever I found out that Charlie's friends were winning golf while also having, like, redos.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like when I hear that you got some Fortnite wins, I'm thinking, like, you're out there against the people who are building. So you guys are just out there running around no building.
Yeah, which I think takes – like, obviously the building is a skill, but I think it takes more just kind of survival skill.
Okay, more well, –
because you don't have that protection of being able to throw up a wall
part
and,
of surviving
and stuff like
is
that.
Using protection.
I know, but
in my opinion.
Like, if I'm in an open, you know, field or something, in building mode, I can throw up walls and stuff. And this, I got to somehow just either be a better gunman than another person or – figure out a way to get out of there.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the game to say if it would just be like you're a better marksman at this point, that you're, you know, like with the no build sets you up to just be a better sniper or a long distance shooter. I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't say survival, though, because I do think building gives you some survival, like, you know, ways, and the people who can build are really good survivors because I can never find them.
Yeah. Build a hotel real quick.
I will say I had about a month where I played Fortnite, and I saw, like, a old video get tweeted out yesterday.
Uh-huh.
that said, like, when, you know, Fortnite was pure, like, on top of the world or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just two guys hiding in a house together, just trying to get their win, and just, they were so happy that they had, like, you know, killed somebody, and they're trying to set these traps, and, like, just the joy in their voice. I'm like, man, what a, it was such a charming video, because I was like, you could just hear how much it meant to them. And I was like, man, I need to get back on the sticks.
It's a good, I like Fortnite because it's a game that I don't take very seriously, so sure. I can go in and just have fun with it. If you're playing like Call of Duty with people, they start screaming at you if you're losing and stuff. Fortnite's not that serious.
No, see, I was always obviously the weakest player on the team, but I would play with good people and they would scream at me.
Yeah.
Because they were out there trying to get dubs.
Yeah, that's why when I go into the games, people know I'm established. I'm like, yeah, I'm the utility guy. Don't expect me to.
Yeah.
I'll hit a couple snipes.
I was a lookout.
I'll light
some
stuff on fire. Yeah.
I was the lookout. I'll tell you where people are coming from.
If you guys die, I'll pick up your cards and get you guys rebooted.
That's me. I'm here I was here to reboot you, and I'm hiding, and just let me know if you need me.
Yep. You can take all my guns. Take them. You're back. There you go. So
I was kind of the same. My Xbox has just been sitting under my TV stand for 2 years or a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
You need to just get it back out.
Yeah, if we fire it back up, I'll have to let you know.
No, because I feel like we can't have two utility players on the team. We can't have two utility guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I just need to get in the lab and retrain myself on shooting games because I've talked about it before. Every time I try to play shooting games, I never can, in my mind, realize that you can just hold the button down.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I'm shooting, I'm trying to click.
Okay, we got some semi-automatic guns, I think.
Well, I know, but I never like remember just to hold it down, so yeah. I always get outgunned.
Yeah, I'm better in the close combat with the shotguns. That's my best bet.
I think that's my goal too, is just try to shotgun people too. But I'm out of the game, but I'm happy you guys got some bonding time.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Draven asked about the Cowboys a lot.
You sent me a picture showing that he had his skin or outfit in the game, if you will, was a Micah Parsons like jersey.
Yeah.
Seems a little weird.
Yeah, they gave out like sold or whatever they do with NFL skins at one point. So like I have a Falcons one just to have it, but
okay, so you really got
like,
one too.
I don't like put it, it's not in my rotation actually.
Okay.
But yeah, he was strictly rocking. I alternate my skin every game. I just have it on shuffle.
Okay.
But he was consistent with his Micah Parsons jersey, so.
I feel like that's just setting yourself up for getting killed by, like, an Eagles fan.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that happen before. Yeah. It's a guy in, like, a Saints jersey, and I get so mad.
Yeah. I feel like that's just setting you up for failure there. Well, I'm glad you're having a good day. You sound happy. Yeah.
How about yourself?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good about the Atlanta Hawks pulling off the heist of the decade.
Oh, man.
But also, I'm also a little mad. I texted you about it, but I'm still been fuming about this. I got screamed at last night by a man in his 60s at trivia.
Okay, yep.
And when I say screamed at, I mean like screamed at. You know, the game was winding down. We had a very poor performance. And look, you know, we play at the same place. Not we haven't played, you know, consistently lately, but like it's a pretty laid back game. It's all adults. We're not playing a college bar or somewhere with young kids where people are cheating. Like for the most part, everyone there is on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen this team before. I don't know if they were new or just started coming or just happened to be there that night. I don't know, but I didn't notice them. At one point, they asked a question that this guy didn't know, and he literally just said, "Ah." Just like out loud, and I looked, and like his wife was just like, you know, just kind of smiling, just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, to pay him no mind. So like that happened, you know, earlier in the night. They're at the table next to me. It's like we already kind of like this guy's a little weird, you know, not to judge. Like, does he have Tourette's? Is he maybe not all there?
Yeah.
Again, not judging, but just you know, it was on alert. Everyone in the room was just kind of like, what was that? Was that a human? Because again, it was so just startling that it happened. So then, you know, we're getting close to the fourth round. I'm getting ready to, like, I get my check. We're all getting ready to leave. We're not going to place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, trying to cash out. I got a new credit card. I hadn't activated it yet. Mm-hmm. We have our answer, like, down at the end of the table, whatever. It wasn't right. It was a bad answer. We had it down, waiting for the guy to come pick it up. I'm on my phone, which is against the rules. Like, to be fair, they always say, like, no phones. Yep. But for the most part, like, if you've turned your answer in, like, they don't really, like, tell you can't be on the phone.
Yeah.
A lot of people play, got kids. Like, you get, I don't know, you sometimes get calls, texts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's like an unwritten rule. That's acceptable amongst like, trivia people.
They tell you, like, no phones, because that way they can disqualify you.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, for the most part, if you glance at your phone or do something, no one's going to, like, really bother you. Especially, like, if you already have your answer over to the side. Like,
yeah.
And you're just, like, not trying to hide. It's one thing to put the phone between your legs.
Yeah, that's
We've all been at trivia where people are, like, phone in the legs, like, trying to look shady.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there on the table with my phone, with a credit card, trying to activate my credit card because I'm trying to get these points.
Yeah.
I got me a new credit card for Delta that's, you know, promising all these miles because I'm going to start traveling, whatever. So I'm trying to, like, get it activated so I can, you know get some points.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and this guy says, "Hey!" Screams at me. And I just look, and I'm like, "Talking to me? No phones! Are you kidding me?" And I'm just like, "Bro." I was just so dumb. I was like, "Excuse me?" And at first I thought it was like a prank. And again, I'm telling you, I thought this guy like maybe had Tourette's or you know, wasn't all there. So I'm kind of just trying to be like non-combative. But then it keeps on. And, like, one of his other friends says something. These guys are in their 60s. There's a wife there. There's like a couple women there. Like, I assume wife. I don't know. But like, there's like a table of like 10 people. Which, by the way, first place is $50. Like, it's $5 a piece. Maybe relax a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, "No phones. Are you kidding me?" And the other guy starts. I was like, "Guys, like, my answer's over here." I was like, "I'm setting up a credit card. It's
like,
not
relax,
cheating."
Yeah.
And then, like, they just keep going. So eventually, like, where there's a moment where I say something. I was like, "You know, you're not going to scream at me about this." And the other guy, like, his friend was like, "Well, you know, we're going to assume you're cheating." I was like, "That's fine, man. If you think we're going to cheat, like in bar trivia," I was like, "if you think I'm cheating, that's fine." I was like, "But under no circumstance is it right for you to yell."
Yeah.
I was like, "If you think I'm cheating, you can like say something to me, but you're not going to scream at me."
Yeah. Yeah,
and the
absolutely.
Guy said something like, "You know," then the guy, I said something like, "You know, this is absurd." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, really? Is it?" Kind of like, that was the point where it was kind of like, "Do you want to go outside?" It kind of felt like. So I was like, "I was like, you're being pretty absurd." He's like, "Oh, am I?" And all I looked back, I just stared at him. I was like, "Yeah. You are." And just kind of stare. Then we just kind of stare at each other, kind of like the Diddy meme. And I was ready to go. I'm not going to lie. I was ready to go outside and kick this 16-year-old man's ass. I was. And I was going to kick his friend's ass, too, and his other friend on the other end of the table. Like, they were all kind of looking. I was at that point, I was mad. And then my friends are getting mad. And I was just like, I'm so dumbfounded. I'm like, other people that we've played with, again, I've been to this place pretty much consistently for a year and a half straight. They're kind of like, "Hey, it's okay, guys. Like, no harm, no foul." And then, like, the wife had the nerve to be like, "It's just a game." And I was just like, "Yeah.
Yeah, tell me.
I know it is just a game. Yes. I'm not the one screaming at you from.
Yeah.
It is just a game." So then I sat there for another couple minutes. And at that point, I was fuming. I don't know if I lost the beef here, but, like, I just sat there staring at them. And they didn't say nothing. But, like, you know, a couple of them kept looking, and, like, my friends kept kind of chirping at them. I was like, "I don't want to have to actually beat this guy's ass.
Yeah,
I'm too old to be fighting inside of a, like, nice family restaurant." So
at
that point, I'd already tabbed out. I got up and left. Our waiter was like, "These people are the worst people we've had in a long time." Like, he basically was like, "This is the worst table I've ever had working here." So, like, apparently these people are just, like,
just terrible people in general.
Just terrible people, which is weird because they're all like in their 60s. I always assume, like, old people are nicer. But sometimes I was thinking, like, you know, sometimes jerks get old and they remain jerks.
And then they get old and think they can kind of do whatever they want.
Right. So, like, it's not like all of a sudden all old people are nice, which in my mind, sometimes I think that.
Yeah.
All old people eventually become nice.
Not everyone's that lady at Waffle House that calls you honey and sugar.
Exactly. Or the Walmart greeters.
Yeah.
Who are just trying to be nice to you. But the guy's like, "Yeah, it's the worst table I've ever had. These people are so rude."
That's wild.
But I sat there and I kept being mad. So I got up and I closed down. I just left. We weren't going to win. I didn't want to be there. I was getting mad. I didn't want to order another drink. So, like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And then my friends were, I don't know if they were lying to me or not, but just said, like, after I left, they kept chirping after I left then. And then I was getting really mad last night at about 11 o'clock.
Just reading this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they were texting me all the stuff, like, they were saying and, like, how they had, like, kept, you know, chirping at them and everything. And apparently, like, the wife and my friend ended up both flipping each other off in the parking lot, like, as they're pulling out. I don't know. But we had a whole situation.
So absurd.
And I've been so mad about it since then. Because I want to beat that old man's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine somebody just getting up and yelling at
him. Well, he didn't get up. Like, if he just stood up, it would have been a different story. No. If he would have stood up, it would have had a different story. He screamed at me sitting down.
Okay.
No one stood up. I almost stood up, but I was like, I'm not going to, because that's when you escalate. If the guy would have stood up, we would have fought.
That's like a gesture. Yeah, that's a gesture.
Yeah. That is an act of aggression. If someone is standing over you, they're trying to, like, they're trying to get the high ground. Like, we would have fought if he had tried to stand up and say that. He didn't. I would have stood up and asked him to take it outside at that point if he had stood up. Because that is one of my triggers. Like, yeah, if someone tries to, like, get in my face like that or stand up and, like, get the high ground. He didn't do that. But I'm telling you, I cannot exaggerate. It was the loudest thing. Hey!
I've never seen anything like that.
I was just so dumbfounded. Because, like I said, the answer was over there. The trivia guys were there. He knew I wasn't cheating. I was just like,
yeah.
I don't know. But luckily, they were in first place going into the final question, apparently, and then lost. So
good, okay. That's karma
said.
Right there.
Yeah, that's what my friend said. So
absolutely, they didn't deserve didn't that place. $50. Yeah, didn't good. Place. They didn't deserve anything there.
So that does give Jeez. Me some comfort.
I think I'm going to have to shut down some cheaters tonight at trivia at my job. Yeah, some regulars were complaining last week saying a team that won cheated. And, you know, we have a pretty good cycle of regulars at play, and usually the same few teams.
Most places do. Like, you have the same people that kind of come in. Like, that's, and you kind of know how people are. And again, if you're at an adult place, most people aren't going to cheat. That's exactly. what I was so offended about. Like, I know they don't know me, but one of my rules is I don't cheat at bar trivia. I don't let my teammates cheat. I've never cheated at bar trivia. A, because I'm not that hard pressed for a $10 gift card.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just think there's no point in it. So, so you're going to have to crack down on it.
Some regulars were complaining last week and said they told the trivia guy, but the trivia guy didn't see it because he had, like, walked in to, like, grab a drink or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a team that won was one of the teams that, like, is there amazingly sparingly. It's always about the same three teams that cycle through as winners.
Sure.
So it was already like, huh, something's up here. But they were complaining about that, so I may have to call that. I said, hey, if they're back this week, point them out to me. I'll say something. So.
Point out, I went there and won trivia one time by myself.
You did.
Nice go. But I'm fuming about it.
I don't blame you. That's ridiculous.
Not gonna lie. Pretty mad about it still. Because I don't want them thinking they punked me out.
Yeah.
They didn't punk me out. Class and being a functioning human in society punked me out. But I'm still thinking about it. So maybe I did lose the beef because they might not be thinking about it. Or maybe, worse yet, they're bragging to their friends about, hey, listen to this. Listen to what I did. And that would make me upset.
Oh, yeah. They're probably like, oh, once you got up and left, they're probably like, oh, yeah, see, we got them.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, they said something like, so that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get up and go use your phone if you have to say it. But I was just leaving. I didn't tell them lie or nothing, obviously. But.
Jeez, yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm glad they lost. That's what they deserved.
That's what they get. But man, I was fuming and I'm still kind of mad about it as we talk about
playing next week?
No. Like the friend I usually go with, like there's a couple of us, but like he had to start traveling more, so like we can't really go. Like he's gone during the middle of the week, travels for work. So that's kind of why we could go in. But again, there's still a lot of regular faces from when we used to go. Like last year we went like every Wednesday.
You had more clout there than they did. So
which it was a new trivia guy, so he didn't know that, I guess.
Ah.
I hadn't built up, a rapport with him. But he knew I wasn't cheating.
Yeah.
But either way, it wasn't like he rushed
to my defense.
Most of them
have common sense.
Yeah, he didn't rush to my defense or anything. Okay, we'll talk about sports after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Am I being a homer, Cam, for saying that the biggest sports story of the day right now is the Hawks going out and getting DeJounte Murray?
I don't think so, because I think it kind of just kicks off the whole free agency as a whole and just the NBA offseason getting revved up. And I think that was obviously the biggest move in sports yesterday. Nothing else was really going on. Just lots of rumors at this point. That was the first kind of official thing we kind of got with some of these big moves in free agency. So, yeah, I think that's a huge story, especially when you got a team that's, a couple years removed from an Eastern Conference Finals appearance.
How do you feel about the DeJounte?
I like it.
Hashtag.
Ooh, I like it. That blends well. I think they're going to play really well together. It's going to be nice to have another creative ball handler out there. And I think it would also be really good for Bogey to be able to go out there without the responsibility of trying to be a playmaker and just get out there and shoot. I think that's just an ideal situation. I'm assuming DeJounte's going to start alongside Trey.
That he's going to be a two guard. Sorry, I was a little distracted because a listener actually has a text thread from the guy who was hosting trivia that said that guy got in his face afterwards because he
didn't throw
us out. Yeah, so like someone was there that witnessed and heard it. I was just like, I was replying to that guy saying, absurd. Yeah, the guy's like corroborating my story. I was like, yeah, I saw him opening up a credit card. Like, it was very clear. And sorry, I was just dealing with that.
Oh my gosh. Jeez,
it was like, this guy's a psycho.
That guy's
unhinged.
Yeah. Somebody's get him.
Guy's unhinged. And like, again, our team was doing terrible. It was the worst I'd ever done it for you. Like, I kid you not, Ken. We had 35 points at halftime out of 60.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
You never do good when you get to 35. You got to have at least 45.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Then we missed like the first question of the third round. We were doing terrible.
And this man had the audacity.
I mean, he didn't know our score, but the guy obviously knew we weren't cheating. Anyways, back to DeJounte Murray. What will happen here? Yeah, he's definitely going to play the two.
Mm-hmm.
His height shows that he's undersized at 6'3", but his wingspan and length, I mean, that opens up to him being 6'9", 6'10". So, like, he is very lengthy and, you know, can go out and guard bigger players.
Absolutely, and just good on-ball defender in general with his steal rates and things like that.
I mean, he led the NBA in steals last year.
Yep. So he's a
The way I look at it, Cam, is that the Hawks had two glaring weaknesses after the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was they needed a defender in the backcourt.
Yep.
And they needed someone who could create shots for others and, like, handle the ball. Because I will say, like, you know, we all watched it, or at least if you watched the NBA, you watched it. Like, mm-hmm. we saw the Hawks get exposed for only having one guy who could dribble.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we saw that you only had Trae Young who could initiate any offense and bring the ball up and do all those things. Like, Kevin Huerter couldn't do that. You know, DeAndre Hunter couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Only Trae Young.
And that's why the trap was so successful that Miami was doing, basically just hounding him with two people and making somebody else create, and they couldn't do it.
So now they are, you know, going out and getting a, you know, 25, soon to be 26-year-old,
mm-hmm.
who was an all-star, who was the only player in the NBA to average 21 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. He was the only guy that was able to do that in the entire NBA. I mean, that's damn near a triple-double.
Yeah.
21 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, while also getting 2 steals a game and, mm-hmm. you know, getting honorable mention all defense. He didn't make an all defensive team, but he had votes that, like, put him on that next tier. No one else did that. Luka Doncic and James Harden came close, but they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Only DeJounte Murray. And the Spurs made the decision that we talk about often. In sports, especially the NBA. The NBA is more so this than, like, anything else. You know, maybe baseball a little bit, but baseball is so random. And, like, I feel like the draft is so much different that, like, you don't really worry about doing these things. The NFL is such a crapshoot. There's so few games that very rarely do teams mm-hmm. have a chance to be solid and then end up wanting to say, no, we don't want to be solid. Very rarely does that happen.
Yeah.
Very rarely. Like, if you're picking at the top of the NFL draft, chances are you either really, really sucked or your quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, either the roster around you is just trash and you're doing a complete overhaul and, like, it's bad. You know, thank the Jets and, you know, Jaguars and just terrible teams. Or your quarterback gets hurt and you get lucky, like the Colts.
Yep.
I don't know of any other, like, really instances where, like, you just got lucky that a quarterback, like, got hurt and that you were able to kind of do the Spurs like they did with, you know, when David Robinson got hurt and they ended up with Tim Duncan. Like, you know, the Colts were pretty much the only example of that. So, like, in the NFL, there's not really any tanking because usually you just suck.
Yep.
And roster building is so fluid in there because, you know, guys' careers can be over after 3 years. Like, you Absolutely. Don't have extended primes for guys. The NBA is different. In the NBA, there's the dreaded thing we call the middle.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be in the middle.
We're very familiar with that. It's
well, both these teams were in the middle
this
season. Both these teams were in the middle. Yeah, the Hawks made it Eastern Conference Finals 2 seasons ago, but, like, that was over. This season, they were the 9 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Smack dab in the middle. The Spurs, they weren't very good. They weren't going to win anything.
Nope.
Yet they weren't bad enough because of players like DeJounte Murray, where, like, they were still going to finish, like, you know, with 34 wins and right outside the playoff picture.
Yep.
I mean, did the Spurs make the play-in tournament? Or is that last year they made it? They missed it this year?
Because I think it was Pelicans.
Pelicans, who'd they beat? I thought they beat the Spurs. Did they not beat the Spurs?
I guess they did beat the Spurs.
I thought the Spurs were the 10 seed this year, which puts them in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah.
Or the play-in game. Yeah, they're the 10 seed. They ezzed out the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
But they were 34-48. And even if they would have beaten the Clippers and then beaten the Pelicans and then beaten the Clippers, they weren't going to win anything.
Yeah.
We know that. So they're like, hey, we just got to get out of the middle. And sometimes you want to try to go to the top like the Hawks are doing.
Yep.
And other times you're like, hey, we got to go to the bottom.
Yeah, start this over again.
Like the Spurs are doing.
Yep.
And it's been a disaster for the Spurs. I don't want to say post Tim Duncan because, they had the one season after Duncan where Kawhi looked like he, was a top – he was a top three MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And he, looks like he maybe could have kept them in that series against the Warriors if Zaza didn't, hurt his ankle.
Yep.
But since the moment they've lost Kawhi, they've been, pretty much a disaster with no real hope. No real route to success, even.
Yeah, especially the way the West was setting up and stuff, too.
Last year at the trade deadline, I don't even think it's with the way the West sets up. I just think, you have to have more than one good player. In today's NBA, I feel like in the 90s, if you go back and look, if you had one good player, if you'd have had a DeJounte Murray in the 90s, chances are you could have been a pretty good playoff team as long as you put some pieces around him. It's not really the case anymore.
No, yeah, you need two stars at least.
Or at least one superstar. If you're the Mavericks and you have Luka and then some good players around him. But one star himself isn't really going to do anything. Look at the Trailblazers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're an excellent example.
So the Spurs were hey, we got to get out of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got any moves we can make to go to the top, so let's just go to the bottom and let's take the one piece we have left on our team that anybody wants, which is DeJounte Murray, and let's try to get some picks for him, and let's try to bottom out because we have to hope and pray to the lottery gods that we can get the big Frenchman.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays for Tony Parker's professional team in France.
Mm-hmm. I think I just saw he signed a new deal somewhere. Or he's changing teams. I don't know if that was to what team he's changing to. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Is he changing to Tony Parker's team or is he changing to a different
team?
Let me see.
I'm wondering.
Victor Wembanyama. And if you haven't watched any highlights of this guy, you should go do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know we talk about the foreign prospects.
Level competition stuff.
Or? Well, that. Plus, we just take, things we don't know. Luka dealt with it, too. If Luka went to college, chances are Luka would have been drafted over DeAndre Ayton.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
If Luka was here in college whipping people's ass like he was doing grown men in Europe, he wouldn't have been the fifth overall pick. He probably would have been number one because I think it would have been clear to see that he was special at his size.
Oh, yeah.
But this Victor Wembanyama guy, the problem is he's French, so people are automatically comparing him to Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you watch this guy's highlight film, he's coming off screens and, draining threes.
Yeah.
Making nice passes. He is fluid. And he is 7'3" with a 7'9" wingspan and a 9'7" standing reach.
His defensive highlights are just as impressive too, just the way
he's
tracking the ball with the blocks and guarding guards on the perimeter and blocking 3-point shots and stuff. He's everywhere.
No, he's a monster. He looks like Chet Holmgren, except he's taller, and he's got, more muscle.
Yeah, and he looks normal.
Yeah. You can still notice that he's, a little too lanky, but, it's not like he looks like a stick out there.
Yeah.
Whereas, you look like – you see Chet Holmgren, and you see some of the stuff he does, he looks like he might break.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it doesn't look fluid when he's trying to play offense. No. This guy is a monster. And everyone, including the Spurs, at the bottom of the NBA are like, hey, we got to do everything we can to get our best odds available to get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, with the new draft lottery system, Cam, if you finish with a bottom three record, the best you can do is a 14% chance, which still means there's an 86% chance you ain't getting it.
Yeah, it's tough still, but you got to take that chance if there's a kid like that out there, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, because whoever wins this lottery is literally winning a lottery. It's like you are hitting the Mega Millions. Sometimes when you look at these number one picks, you're like, we'll take our chances. We'll see what they got. Might make us a little bit better.
Yep.
At the best, when you have the number one pick, you're hoping that he makes a couple All-NBA teams maybe, or a couple All-Stars. I think you'd settle for a couple All-Stars.
Absolutely.
Not everyone's LeBron James. But if you like land this guy, people think like, hey, you're setting your, you know, your franchise up for 15
years. They think he's one of those generational talents.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying he's the best guy since LeBron.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Now he is moving to, let's see, what team is he moving to? Okay, he's moving to play with the French national team.
Okay.
The head coach there. He's opted out of his contract with, I don't know where these are, Bolognog Levolius Metropolitans 92. I don't know anything about them other than the coach is the guy that coaches the French national team.
Okay. That's probably, I mean, good coach to go to, I guess. They're usually pretty
solid.
He's
the best coach in France,
team.
I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach of the year, you know, in France on five separate occasions. Mm-hmm. He coached Nicolas Batum before he got to the draft. So, yeah, like, you know, I guess they're getting – so I don't know if that's Tony Parker's team or not, so I guess I had to fix that. But the Spurs are looking around like, hey, we got to take our lottery ticket here. Like, we're not going to be good no matter what DeJounte Murray does. So let's go out. So let's try to maximize our odds to stink the best we can for a 14% chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, they definitely should be down there now. They don't got anything else on that team.
No, they're not. They're going to be terrible. They'll be one of the three worst teams, and I don't know if Greg Popovich is okay with that and, like, getting out after this year.
Yeah, they said he gave his blessing to trade Murray and
what the hell else
was going to coach this year, but...
Yeah, what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah, is he either retire or just show back up?
Give his blessing to what? I mean, otherwise you're going to win 30 games, bro.
Yeah.
But it's the first big domino to fall... Mm-hmm. As we got an arms race in the East, man, and it's exciting. But the Spurs made the cognitive decision that we can't stay in the middle because we know that's the worst place to be. Everything, you know, the middle is fine.
You don't want to get stuck there.
If you like, if you're trying to come out of the bottom, like the San Antonio Spurs, they've made the mountaintop, right? So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
They've reached the mountaintop five times. If the Sacramento Kings are like, hey, we just want to get out of the bottom and get to the middle. People be like, you know what? That's a big goal for you.
Yeah, like, you finally made playoffs? Congrats.
Yeah,
like,
you haven't made the playoffs since, what, 2003? Yeah, you go ahead. You trying to get to the middle is a big, big accomplishment.
It's a win, yeah.
But once you get there for a couple of years, it ain't all it's cracked up to be. And if you've been to the mountaintop, it's the worst place to be in the middle. Like, you tear it down. So the Spurs made that decision. We'll talk about the ramifications of it after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. On the basketball court, Cam, I think, you know, we might lose some people talking about the Hawks in that regard. But, like, you know, I do think a couple things are true coming out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can really argue that the Atlanta Hawks now have at least a top three backcourt in the NBA. I would say the best.
Yeah, I would as well.
You have two All-Stars. Two guys right in their prime at Trae Young might not even be in his prime yet, but like two guys right there in their mid 20s getting ready to have their best years.
Yep.
You have guys hitting the age where you become your best version of yourself when it comes to basketball. Nobody in the NBA can say that they have a better backcourt. You can say that you would rather have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson because they're champions. Mm-hmm. I would say, okay, that's fair. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
I would say Klay Thompson is not the same Klay Thompson as he once was, but they just won a championship. So, like, I feel like I'd feel pretty stupid for arguing too hard against that. And
absolutely.
If you wanted to look and say Chris Paul and Devin Booker are better, I would say that I think Trey's better than both of them, and Murray's as good as either one of them at this point. Yeah. But, like, I won't even, like, argue too hard on that. But those are the only two teams I'll listen to having an option of, you know, you having the argument, I guess, to even argue. To me, that's it, those two. And I think the Hawks are better than both.
I agree. I just think it's so unique, too, with the level of playmaking both these guys have and just the scoring ability as well. And just I think the pairing's just really nice, the way they have their different skill sets as far as the defender, creator, rebounder, does the dirty work, does a little bit of everything. Like, Murray does a little bit of everything, and I think he's going to be willing to do that, and it takes a lot of pressure off of Trey as well.
Well, I mean, I think this would be, you know, one of the five guys you would pick in the entire league to pair up with Trey Young as a backcourt running mate, and, like, the other four guys aren't available.
Yeah.
Like, would I rather have Jaylen Brown? Yeah, maybe, but he's not available. Plus, he can't dribble. So I don't know how much he would create the offense either. But, like, he's yeah. Jalen Brown's awesome. But, like,
a good player, that, yeah.
You know, this is a top five guy that you would want to pair with him. And, you know, he was available and the Hawks went out and got him. But I will say, like, there are three guys in the NBA who averaged 20 points and nine assists this year. 20 points and nine assists. James Harden, Trae Young, and DeJounte Murray. So, like, what the Hawks can now do is they'll be able to always have an all-star point guard on the floor. That's the biggest thing. It's like, if you stagger the minutes properly, like, and they're not on the court together, like, when Trae goes to the bench, you're going to bring in DeJounte Murray as a point guard. And no other team can say that. So, like, I think on the basketball court, this unlocks the Hawks and gives them a chance to be a championship-level team. But people don't necessarily want to hear about that. I understand. Not everyone's Hawks fans. I get it. But what I will say is that this was probably the biggest name left, like, or I guess the biggest name that was available once Bradley Beal and James Harden and Kyrie and Durant pretty much made it known they're staying put.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal said, hey, I'm taking the $250 million.
Even like LaVine said, is supposed to stay put with the Bulls on the max. And
I mean, I get it. Look, go ahead. Although I don't really get it. If you're Zach LaVine, like how old are you? I mean, he's still in his like
26 at most, actually. I won't say 25, 26.
Okay, I was thinking maybe 27 by this point. Yeah, he's 27.
Okay.
But, like, if you take a four-year deal somewhere else, like, you can go out and get, you know, another contract after that. So, like, I don't even know if I'd really worry about getting the fifth year with the Bulls. But either way, whatever. Maybe, like, he has second thoughts, or maybe, like, everyone stays put.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, now the resources are drying up for some teams that feel like they are championship level, or at least close to that second tier where you're, like, right there trying to get to the conference finals, right?
Yeah, you think you could add a piece or a draft pick or something that, yeah, gets you there, but...
But now you look around and like, okay, so we know the Spurs are going to the bottom. But like the other big names we're looking at when the free agency starts today at 6 o'clock is Jalen Brunson. And some stuff came out last night that like, hey, he's going to take a meeting with the Heat. Maybe he's going to go to the Heat. And then that came out today. It's like, nah, he's kind of making that up because they're trying to throw maybe the NBA off of their trail for tampering. Like he's going to the Knicks, which they hired his dad. They employ his godfather.
Yeah.
Literally. Like his father and his godfather. He's going to the Knicks. But you look at the Heat and now they're looking around like, hey, wait a second. We were very close to winning a championship last year. Or at least like getting to a championship, right? I mean, like, they lost game 7. They were a Jimmy Butler pull up 3 away from going up in game 7 with, you know, 8 seconds left. And now they're looking around and like, so far their offseason is, well, looks like we're going to lose P.J. Tucker.
Yeah.
And we're not getting anybody else. And Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler are getting a year older.
Mm-hmm. Especially Lowry.
What are we doing here? Because, you know, they were close last year. But they're losing, you know, one of their most important players on that defense, at least, with P.J. Tucker. Now they're linked to maybe trying to get Bobby Portis. We'll see how that goes. But even if Bobby Portis comes, it'll fix the offense a little bit. But it's going to hurt the defense. Mm-hmm. So you look at them, and that's a team that was in the Final Four. Again, one shot away from maybe going to the NBA Finals. They're out here scrambling because they were trying to go big game hunting with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, or maybe not Kyrie, but like, you know, trying to get that, and then they're, you know, maybe trying to get on Jalen Brunson. Who knows? Bradley Beal is always linked to them. Donovan Mitchell, which maybe they still swing for the fences with Donovan Mitchell. Maybe they could convince him to get traded or convince the Jazz to trade for him, maybe.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're looking around like, hey, I don't know what we're going to do here. Same for the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say the P.J. Tucker loss was, you know, a 7 out of 10, or maybe a 6 out of 10 for the Heat, just because I think he's so important to their defense and then really just their tough guy mentality.
Yeah, leadership, all that.
Yeah. But, like, the Mavericks losing their second-best player for nothing feels like a 9 out of 10 on the scale. And like, that's another team that was right there, boom, in the Final Four. Do I think they were legitimately one of the four best teams in the NBA? No. Do I think they were legitimately one of the two best teams in the Western Conference? No. But they were right there on the doorstep, and they have a guy that's getting ready to hit, again, that mid-20s where you're looking at your prime.
Yep.
And, like, they don't really have any method or route of improving this roster because they got a lot of bad contracts.
Yeah, they had no contingency plan here. Because, you know, obviously I don't think they thought he was going to pop off and people are going to be like, oh, this guy's like a max player or close to a max player. Like, you know, they're kind of teasing with, like, I think the rumor for the Knicks was it like $110 million or something like that? But, yeah, I don't think they had any idea that he was going to kind of have this pop and glow up in the playoffs that were going to command this much money. They probably thought he was going to hang around that team for a while at a reasonable deal, but...
Yeah, maybe. Like, I feel like they probably should have tried to work out an extension with him last year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly the details there, if they were aggressive or trying to lowball him, which, I mean, he bet on himself either way and didn't take a lowball offer, and now he's set for a big, big-time payday. And he's a guy who hasn't had a big time payday. Like I said yesterday, I think he's making like $1.7 million this year.
Yep. Yeah, somewhere.
So he has a chance to, you know, up that by what would it be to be 15 times something, Cam?
15 times one?
Well, no, 15 times. Well, yeah, he's like, you know, like quintuples four.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's 15 times something?
Oh, geez.
Well, that's what he's in line big for. He's here to up his salary by over 15 times.
Yeah, that's a. I think most people would accept that.
Yeah. To pretty much do anything, much less like get a bigger role at your job where you can shine in a bigger organization on what we call, you know, the brightest lights in the NBA.
Yep.
But that's another team. Again, two teams in the Final Four who are getting, at least right now, as we sit on the edge of free agency, look like they're getting objectively worse.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe much worse. I would say much worse for the Mavericks. We'll see what happens with the Heat. They have enough depth where you look around and, like, they do a good enough job developing players from the G League and finding, like, second-round picks. And, you know, they love that Nikola Jovic guy, as Charlie keeps talking about. So maybe the loss for the Heat's a little bit less because they also have more bullets to shoot at trying to improve. But the Mavericks, again, a top-four team in the whole NBA at the end of the year, are now looking around saying, uh-oh, now what? Better hope Luka and Christian Wood's good. I don't want to say they're at the risk of, like, falling out of the playoff picture, because when you have a talent like Luka, you're always going to have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, you think you could will them there, possibly, but...
But, you know, there's a couple of teams from outside the playoff picture that are, like, going to be coming back to the playoff picture this year. At least two. Like, I got to imagine that the Blazers are at least going to be better than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans and, like, you know, the Timberwolves are going to be better from the 7 and 8 spot. If we're looking at just trying to finish top six, like.
Especially if Zion comes back and plays
any role.
Decent amount of games. Like.
The Nuggets are going to be better. The Clippers are going to be better. Those are all teams that you finished ahead of last year. And all those teams should be much better next year. So I'd be a little worried. Because, like, we got an arms race, at least in the East. We'll see what happens in the West. Like. Maybe some of these teams are just going to stand pat or get worse themselves. Like, the Phoenix Suns are in a similar position, Cam. Whenever free agency starts today at 6, if it was already bad enough that they, like, missed out on Luka for drafting DeAndre Ayton, which I thought was the right pick at the time, a 7-foot center who's athletic, who's in your backyard, I had no problem with them drafting him. But apparently they don't view him as, like, a big-time player because they don't want to pay him.
Yep.
And they're willing to lose him for, you know, a sign-and-trade. So not nothing, but... They're willing to lose a key piece of their team, so we'll see what happens to them.
Yep, Chris Paul a year older.
Memphis, when you look at the top of the West, like, they were obviously over their heads last year with 56 wins. They had a great season, but I haven't seen them really linked with any, you know, adding any free agents. It's just pretty much like, hey, they might keep Tyus Jones, their backup point guard. They might lose him.
Yeah. What I saw was he's looking for actually a starting role.
He might get to go to San Antonio and start on a tanking team.
Yeah, they said, yeah, he wants either... He wants preferably both a starting role and a payday to an extent. So,
I mean, Minnesota seems desperate for a point guard, so maybe just bring him back there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking around, and then in the East, like, when we're just talking about the Heat and, like, the reason the Hawks had to make this trade is, like, hey, I still am buying the hype that, like, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be back next year.
Yeah. I think they'll be definitely a lot better than they were this past year.
Well, I mean, I think they have a chance to add two really, really important pieces to next year's team by getting Ben Simmons and Joe Harris back.
Yeah, Joe Harris is
Joe Harris, one of the best shooters in the NBA.
Yep.
And has some size. Unlike, you know, Patty Mills and Seth Curry, has some size. Ben Simmons, you know, a full season of Kyrie, like, they're going to be much better. Boston, you know, I know they lost in the finals, but they were a team that was dominant after, you know, basically February.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're really losing anybody this offseason, and they have a couple ways to get a little bit better. The Bucks are going to get Middleton back, and as long as Giannis is there, they're going to be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sixers going out and getting P.J. Tucker is a big move.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you look around the East, it's going to be deadly. It's going to be dangerous. We already talked about the Hawks. I mean, I think they're going to have two, you know, the best backcourt in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be an easy path, though. They're making it tough out there.
What do you make of the trade, actually, like, with the draft picks? Because I saw some people saying, like, wow, the Hawks gave up so much. And I'm just like, are we still worried about draft picks? No.
You can always recoup those.
Like, the Hawks gave up a protected first-round pick from the Charlotte Hornets that they got for Cam Reddish. Like, that's most likely not going to be a first-round pick this year because I just told you about the East. I feel pretty confident the Charlotte Hornets aren't going to make the playoffs next year.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I like the spacing of the years, too. Well, obviously, you can't trade back-to-back picks.
The Hawks get to keep their pick next year in a loaded draft and the year after. So, like, you know, like, they're going to get to at least, like, draft a couple of big-time guys or at least hopefully get some young guys that they can, you know, keep under cost control. But, like, the pick swaps are, I guess, what bothers me.
Yeah.
A pick swap. Like, okay, like, so the Hawks and Spurs are going to swap picks in, four, like, 3 years when the Spurs are going to be tanking and, like, rebuilding and the Hawks should be near the top of the East. Like, they're set up with youth to be near the top of the East. That's not going to, like, convey. And if the Hawks are good, they're going to be, like, in the late 20s with draft picks. Like, the Spurs
aren't going to swap for that one.
Right. Like, it just seems like, you know, we overrate that a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, there are the instances where it backfires. And, you know, we saw it with Brooklyn where it backfired. And the Celtics all of a sudden had back-to-back, like, you know, top five picks. And they got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And, quite frankly, it might backfire for the Lakers. You know, in the foreseeable future with, you know, giving those pick swaps to the Pelicans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it might work out.
I just don't think the Hawks completely, like, mortgaged their future away. Like, I think some people thought they were doing. I was, like you said, he's got the pick next year, year after that. I think you're still in a good spot. You know, they're probably not even done making moves. Maybe you get a couple picks back for some moves or things like that. So I think it's going to end up being fine. I've liked it. I just think the fit works so well. If I was more than willing to pay that price. That was...
If you tell me you can get an all-star guard at the age of 25, when we just kind of laid out that, like, not really a lot of people available right now for teams to try to swing for the fences. If you tell me you can get a guard that's 25, getting ready to be 26, who's an all-star, who is one of the best defenders in the league, who averaged 21 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds, like, if you can tell me you can get him for 2 draft picks, which is essentially what the Hawks gave up, 2 first-round picks that might end up being in, like, the 20s.
Yep.
I think everyone does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just saw the Rams win a Super Bowl that way. I'm not saying the Hawks are winning a championship or anything, but, like, I feel like every time I think that we've moved past, like, overvaluing first-round picks, an NBA trade happens, and everyone's like, oh, my God. Like, think about the Bucks and Pelicans when they, you know, traded picks for Jrue Holiday and pick swaps. Like, the Bucks ain't finishing below the Hornets anytime soon.
Yeah.
Or the Pelicans, excuse me.
Not at all, yeah.
They ain't finishing below them anytime soon to swap picks. It ain't happening. Yet we, you know, use them to try to oversell things for when teams give up and make a trade.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I hope there's some fireworks tonight. I hope we get some more big news tonight.
6 o'clock, which, again, there's not a lot of big news left out there, I think, for the like, I think it's Jalen Brunson to Dallas, and then I guess we turn to, what, DeAndre Ayton?
Yep. Ayton, and I guess if the Hawks still try to move Collins or somebody.
If you could pick a trade for Collins, what would it be at this point?
That's what I've been trying to think about. I don't know.
They want a first round pick. They want a first round pick and a player that can help them win now. So to me, like, the most likely thing is probably getting someone like Harrison Barnes in a first round pick from Sacramento. They've been talking about that.
Yeah.
Which I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, if you're gonna trade him, I think I would be fine with that.
It's always valuable to have a first-round pick from the Kings, too.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure there's no, like, heavy protections on it because they ain't ever going to be any good.
Yeah, the odds are they're going to still miss the playoffs.
The Heat, apparently interested in John Collins, too. I wouldn't like that.
I'd be very frustrated.
I wouldn't want him to go to the Heat.
Play him four times a year.
I'd like to see him to the West.
Please.
DeAndre Ayton. I guess we'll figure out. I haven't heard anything recently about the Jazz, but I guess they still have two quote-unquote stars that look like they, you know, could be on the move with Gobert and Mitchell.
Yeah. I do still think, yeah, I'd probably only be one of those guys. Haven't heard a lot from him, though, yeah. They've been quiet.
And I guess, you know, the Lakers will keep trying to sell Russell Westbrook, but everyone's going to be like, no, bro, we don't want Russell Westbrook. Please stop asking. It's like in your fantasy league when somebody keeps trying to trade you a guy that you don't want.
Yeah, yeah, and they just keep changing it to worse and worse trades. And just like, what are you doing here?
Keeps posting on the message board and the group chat. Please take him. Please. He's available. I'm shopping him. And I was like, nah, we're good. We're good on that. Hour one of the books, as Jared says, F those picks. That's my motto. I'm glad the Hawks said it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here for it.
Well, if I trade you these draft picks, I might not be able to draft somebody as good as DeJounte Murray. I mean, if you had any draft pick, that's usually going to be like in the middle of the first round. Like, your goal is to draft somebody, and you hope and pray they're as good as DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, you hope they were an all-star level player.
Yeah, like
every pick is you're hoping that they're an all-star player.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hour two coming at you. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet